What's up, everyone? Welcome to week 13 of the Syndicates. Eddie, Vic, and John all back this week. We got Thanksgiving slate of games, so we'll get the pot out early for everybody to make sure they can listen to it before Thursday's games. Guys, all of our teams are playing this year. I finally get to see my team play on Thanksgiving. Join you guys.
There we go. Yeah, all three of us. We're going to have a nice Thanksgiving weekend here.
Well, unfortunately for me and John, because I don't know if anybody's watching that game.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one to watch. But, I mean, everybody's going to watch it on Thanksgiving. I think one thing we should remind everybody before we get started is there are games tomorrow, which is Thursday. Friday, there's a whole slate of really good college football games. Same with Saturday. And then you got all day Sunday. So make sure everybody out there pace yourselves. Don't go too crazy. We know there's a lot of prime time big matchups this week. So try not to kill yourselves too much with how much you're betting this week.
It's a fun slate. Oh, this Thanksgiving slate's always fun. The way it starts with, you got all day Thursday, the three games on Thursday, there's a college game on Thursday, all day Friday, basically all day Saturday. And then of course all day Sunday. So man, Eddie's right, man. Just pace yourself this weekend.
Yes, sir. So we'll jump right into the games this week, starting with the first one on Thanksgiving. You guys are going at it. Round two, Chicago Bears at the Detroit Lions. I don't really know who's starting at quarterback this week. Vic, I know you mentioned earlier this week that Jeff Driscoll was kind of nursing an injury. So is he starting or are we going with the random guy off the street?
John, you can probably answer best, but I know they brought in a rookie, right? David Blow, like right off the street. Or I don't even know how to say his name. Blow.
Yeah, David Blow. Yeah, something like that.
He sounds so enthusiastic about his chances.
What? I'm cheering to lose. I don't even know where this guy played college. I think it's West Virginia or Purdue. That's off the top of my head. This David Blau guy. I remember him from college. I just those two schools. It's one of those two schools that
he looks like Purdue.
I was just saying, because Will Greer was West Virginia. So
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, he must be the other one. I knew it was one of the two schools. I couldn't figure out which one. But I mean, listen. I think where I'm going to be at, we have two Thanksgivings. We have two Thanksgivings. You know, we have one in the we have a 1 o'clock lunch, and then we have like a 6 o'clock dinner also. So we kind of go at it twice. When we get to watch that first game, and it's going to be at my family's house, we're going to be cheering probably for the Lions to probably end up losing the game. At this point, who cares, right? So, I mean, I don't care who's starting, but I don't even know the line on this game. But anytime you're going to throw in anybody on 3 weeks schedule, any backup on 3 weeks schedule, they have zero chance of winning the game. So take that into effect with also that this guy just got signed. It's not like the backup that just is, even if it was the backup that was just coming in, I would go against it. But now it's some guy, random guy off the street that's coming in. There is no chance. There is no chance the Lions win this game. So, what's the line?
So it's gone up. It started at Bears minus one. You're looking at Bears minus 3.5 or 4 across the board right now.
Oh, that's not. That's going to get to 6 before kickoff, probably. So, I mean, I like the Bears, man. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know if I want to go with the. Eddie just said pace yourself, and I kind of want to go do Bears as my pick of the week. So. I don't know. That 3.5, 4, you say?
Yep.
Yeah. I like that, man.
Yeah, I think I was a little bummed at myself, because when I saw it open up on my site, it was pick. And I was like, man, I feel like I should jump on Chicago because that line's probably going to move a little bit. And I did not, for some reason, bet it whatsoever. I took the two other games we're going to talk about in a little bit. So now I'm really – frustrated because it's up to 3.5, so I would have gotten some really good value on the Bears. But yeah, I agree with you there. I think the Bears are definitely going to win this one. I think 3 and under is good for you in this spot.
I honestly don't think it's going to matter. I think it's going to be a blowout, because you can't come in off the street on 3 days notice and come in there and just, you know, effectively do anything. You know, maybe for a quarter you'll be able to pull off some, you know, like some trick plays and some like misdirection plays. But I mean, by the time the two teams settle in, they're not going to be able to do anything offensively, and our defense is not good at all. So
yeah.
So
to your point, John, I think especially off the street against this defense, I know that as bad as the Bears' offense is, the defense is not as good as last year, but last year was like historic, right? They're still pretty much like top five, top 10 in every category. They're giving up the fourth fewest points in the NFL. And they're still playing. You know, I saw them play with some heart last weekend. They could have kind of, you know, packed it in, but the defense is still going to be balling. So you're getting a guy off the street on a short week that doesn't really know the offense. There's going to be a lot of like handoffs to Bo Scarborough. Detroit D is kind of weak, and it has been since that Packers game. So, I don't know. Everything points to the Bears in this game. And theoretically, I mean, on paper, the Bears still have a shot at the wild card, and that's how their players are taking it. So, you know, there's going to be some effort from them as well. So, yeah, I think you got to go with the Bears. I know it's 80-20 rule, but on Thanksgiving, favorites have done well. One of our guests from last year, John Ewing, posted that just today that favorites on Thanksgiving have gone 30-11, 73% against the spread since 2003. So the better teams, you know, are more prepared and do pull it out on Thanksgiving. So I agree. I think we're all on the same page. We got to go with the Bears or just pass.
Now, do we know this guy is definitely starting for Detroit, or has Driscoll got a chance to play still?
He didn't practice yesterday, and so today I think is the last big day, right? So, because if it's a short week and you know you haven't gotten any reps in, and they pick this guy up, everything leans towards him. But I think we'll find out probably by the time the pod is posted today, this evening or tonight.
Don't forget about Nick Mullins last year with the 49ers. He came in off the bench when I think C.J. Beathard got hurt, and he tore it up on that Thursday Night Football game. So. Just a little thought to marinate it for everybody.
Two completely different organizations, the San Francisco 49ers and the Detroit Lions.
I would also take Kyle Shanahan over Matt Patricia any day. So
I remember that, but who did he come in against? Do you remember, funny time?
I was trying to think of the same thing. I don't know if it was the Cardinals.
Or was it the Cards?
Oh, man, I kind of want to check. But – yeah, we can check
that,
it out.
That dude ripped it for like 3 weeks, man.
He did. I think it was I'm pretty sure it was like Seattle. And like he played well, but they lost. I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I could be wrong.
I thought he won because he was like crying after the game. They interviewed him.
That was the Cards game. That was like a week later. I'm pretty sure. Like he had to first get thrown into the fire. Like he played really well. And then I think it was the Cards or actually it was the Packers game, because that was the TV game. I'm pretty sure that he beat them too. So, but he played well. Like either way, he came in beat them ball.
It was the Raiders he beat on Thursday Night Football.
Oh, the Raiders. Okay.
All right, so we'll jump into the next game. This is one I'm looking forward to, and hopefully a good one. Buffalo Bills at the Dallas Cowboys. I'm obviously going to be super biased in this spot here. I want to take the Bills in the 7 all day. I did already bet it. That was one of the games I mentioned that I jumped on right away. I got +7. It's down to 6.5 now. So I already knew what I was going to bet just based on my heart. So I'm not very good at giving an analytical version of this game here. So I'm going to leave this off to you guys to kind of give an unbiased version because I'm pretty excited for this game. So
John liked Buffalo, right? So I'll let you go first, John.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's too many points in this spot here. You know, Buffalo's defense is really good. You know, Josh Allen somehow moves them down the field, you know, running the ball with his feet. So I know Dallas is in a spot here where, you know, they don't want to lose this game. And I hate backing teams when I don't feel like they can pull the outright upset. But I just still feel like this is way too many points to be giving against that good of a defense. So I like the points here too. I still see it at 7. So I see in Buffalo 7 points, and I know that the favorites usually come through on Thanksgiving. if I'm looking at the Bears at in the first game, and kind of like, you know, I like the favorite in the night game too. I can't go three favorites, so I'm gonna go Buffalo here in this spot.
I'll give you the flip side to that, and then maybe Eddie, you can take us home. But while Buffalo's pass defense is amazing, their run defense is a little suspect, right? So I think like 60% of the touchdowns against the Bills have come against the run, and what better team to do it than Dallas? I know they're relying on their passing game a lot this year, but they're still capable of pounding it down their throat with that offensive line and Zeke. And Buffalo does give up some big running plays, and the public is all over Buffalo because I think they're just like, hey, this is just a good defense, too many points. So I don't know. I might sit this one out. I know what you're going to say, John. There's no way I'm sitting it out when it comes to Thanksgiving. But I don't know, man. Maybe wait for a live line or something. So that's just what I'm thinking. I'm kind of scared of them getting gashed on the ground. So, Eddie, what do you think?
So to that point right there, actually, they had like a three-week window after their bye week where they were getting scorched on the ground. They signed Corey Legent a couple weeks ago. He used to play for the Chargers, pretty solid defensive tackle. And since they've signed him, their run defense has been outstanding. It's okay. Been like top five in the NFL. Granted, it's the Broncos and the Dolphins that they played, but they've really shored it up. And actually, the Dolphins did beat them up pretty good on the ground in the first game that they played against the Bills. So that was kind of what started the leaks in the running defense. But now, yeah, their defense is just playing really, really good the past couple of games, and they've really been good against the run. I know that the Dolphins put up 21 points, but a lot of that was in garbage time. Josh Allen, he's actually playing pretty well. And you know me, I'm a little bit of a doubter of Josh Allen's, but he's over the past, since the New England game, he talked about this earlier this week. He said he needed that game because it was an eye opener for him. He saw a lot of things that Belichick just kind of threw at him, and it really just helped him develop as a quarterback. And since then, he hasn't been turning the ball over as much. He's got 14 touchdowns to one interception in the past few games. So he's not turning the ball over. He's finally taking care of that. The offense is just playing much better than it has earlier in the year, which is something to look forward to. This game is really hard for me to handicap because both of these teams have played such an awful schedule and beaten such bad teams. The Cowboys, they haven't beaten anybody that's good. The Eagles is their best win. The Bills, you can say the same thing about them. I mean, I don't really know who their best win would be, but they haven't really beaten anyone. Tennessee, maybe, in Tennessee. That could be probably their best win.
Yeah, Tennessee's playing well, man.
Yeah, but then you can also say that was the Marcus Mariota Titans as well. True, so,
true.
Yeah, so it's a very tough game to handicap. I like Buffalo, obviously. I'm a little biased, and they're getting so many points here. But I just don't see how Dallas is going to be able to run the ball because they also haven't been having much success this year. Even when they've played such a crappy schedule, they haven't been able to run the ball. True. I don't know what's going on with them. Zeke just hasn't been the same. Cabo obviously didn't do him justice. So, I think the strength this year for the Cowboys has been the passing game. You saw what Stephon Gilmore did to Amari Cooper. And Tre'Davious White has been playing probably on the same level as Stephon Gilmore. So he's just going to shadow Amari Cooper everywhere. Clearly Amari Cooper's hurt. So I lean the Bills plus the 7 here, even though the public is all over it.
That's why I like talking about these games with you fellas, right? Because I like when I'm just looking at stats, and that's what I do. But to get that insight that since the Bills have signed him, the rush defense has been better, that kind of changes my mind altogether. So I like that. I hope that's what listeners like. You know, sometimes we try to give you our picks, but we also try to give you our thoughts on each game. So I like that. I think I'm coming around. I'll take the Bills plus some points. I'll be playing.
Yeah, nobody really knows about a rotational defensive tackle that was signed that helped improve their run game drastically. So
that's what I thought. We're obviously like biased with our own teams, but those are kind of the little things that also helps us, right? We know we're the only losers or idiots that actually follow like our local newspaper and read these interviews and see these little differences that a guy off the street can make. So I'm all for it, man.
I will say this. The Bills on deck have Baltimore fun times coming up. I might actually go to that game because I kind of want to see Lamar Jackson now. But they do have the Ravens on deck 10 days from this game. They are going to get smacked. They do not match up well with that team. That team is too finesse. They match up very well with the physical teams. That's why they played so well against the Patriots. The Eagles, they kind of danced around. They played very finesse that game, even though they're a slow team. But they just don't match up well with the Ravens. They don't match up well with the Chiefs. So I'm really hoping we don't see them in the playoffs if we get there. But the Chiefs and the Ravens are the two teams that I feel like in the AFC we don't match up well with. So that's just kind of a little preview to next week. But I want to jump to the next game here. And we got the Saints on the road looking for some revenge against the Falcons. Now, I just want to kind of throw a couple things at you guys on this game. You get everybody, you know, at the sports books is going to be doing a two-team teaser. John, your favorite thing, New Orleans and Dallas down to one, I feel like. I feel that's going to be a huge teaser that the books are going to need. So one of these two games, don't be surprised if there's an outright win in here. One thing that scares me, I like Atlanta in this spot here, getting the 7, because I see it's popped up to 7 in a few places. A lot of people are on the Saints as well. So right now, if things go the way that we've just said they are, that means 2 for 2 books are getting hammered. But they usually do on Thanksgiving for some reason. So the one thing that scares me is the Saints are so out for revenge on the Falcons for what they did to them 2 weeks ago that I don't know how Atlanta's going to win this game. They got extremely banged up in the game against the Bucs. There was guys dropping left and right. Julio Jones barely made it through the game. Their running back got a concussion. They lost an offensive lineman, some guys on defense. Matt Ryan's still banged up. So Atlanta, we saw it last week with Philadelphia, how multiple injuries can just kill your team. So I don't know. How are you guys feeling on this? Vic, I'll let you take it away first.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Saints in this spot, but it's kind of scared of some of the things that you said, right? Like if the Bears win, Bills win, the Saints win, I think it's going to be a rough day for Vegas. But I will say, like, the Falcons always all – and you know the Saints better than us, but the Falcons always somehow, some way, it doesn't matter how banged up they are, how crappy they are, they always hang with the Saints. Mm-hmm. They beat them straight up. They always hang. So the line is shot up. Obviously, early money came in on the Saints. It's up to 7. You got 80%. Of the public on the Saints. You got the sharp guys that took the Saints at 5. So, I don't know. I think all of us, we hate Atlanta. So, I don't know how I can take Atlanta. John will kill us if we do a dip. So, it's a game. I don't know where else we can go. Do we do what John says sometimes? It's called like the sucker bet, where we just take the over and we just hope for some points and some entertainment. But the Saints D is also good, and the Falcons are banged up. So I don't know, man. I don't really have a feel for this game. John, what are you thinking?
I don't like the over in this game. What I was going to end with, and it's what I'll start with, is where Vegas might make some of their money back this week, because I don't see how – and New Orleans is not going to lose. They already lost to Atlanta once. They're not going to lose to them twice. So I don't see them losing. So maybe Buffalo wins, but I don't know if that happens either. So that dip is in play, right? It's Thanksgiving. They give stuff like that away. Where I think Vegas is going to make their money back this weekend is the under on this game. So that, you know, the line is 7. Sometimes people don't want it to, how much of a sucker pick is the Saints minus 7? I know that's probably where the action's still going to be at publicly, but I feel like a lot of people are going to be on the over too. So I kind of like the under here in this spot. They already played a game. The last time they played, was it a shootout last time they played? I know Atlanta whooped them, but 48.5. I think that's too high. So my play in this spot is the under. I can't take Atlanta because they've already beat them once. I don't see them doing it again. And 7 points is too much for me to lay on the road. So I'm not taking the sucker over pick, which I usually do. I think depending on how the rest of the day goes, I think I'm going to end up playing the under in that spot. So I don't know. That's my little angle for that game.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, Nola has a really, really good D. So You guys have convinced me on a couple plays. I like the Bills now. I like the under there, John, because of some of the things you guys said.
Yeah, I think this could shape up to be a bad day for the books, but I bet you they somehow sneak in cover somewhere. Where it's going to be, I have no idea, but it could be it could be one of these two later games. So that first one there, man, I don't know. I don't see how Detroit's going
to
hang
that
around.
That first one's a freebie to start the whole week.
The free spin to get you your spin. Money so that you can just bet it all the way after, right?
We've all been there. The game that you're like all in on and then waiting for it to finish and get credited to your account so you can bet on the next game.
Exactly. All right, so those will be a fun slate of Thanksgiving games there. We'll move over to the Sunday ones. Here's another one that could be in the teasers as well going into the weekend. Green Bay, 6.5-point favorites on the road at the Giants. So don't be surprised if some people try and connect those two Dallas and Saints teasers with this one for a nice three-teamer. But all the money coming in on Green Bay. Last week, we were all kind of on the 49ers. I think Green Bay is very overrated. On the road here, I don't think they lose, but the Giants, man, they're one of those teams that I feel like they should be so much better than they are, and they should be covering some numbers. But, Vic, you saw them last week. They're not a very good football team right now. So I can't really back them. If anything, I would lean Green Bay, but I don't want to lay 7.5 or 6.5 on the road here against a team I'm also not very much a believer in. So I'm sitting this one out.
I mean, I saw them. Some sharp money did come in on the Giants early. It went down from 7.5 to 6.5 right now. You got about 90% of the public on Green Bay. They're expecting them to bounce back. The Giants did play that game a lot closer than the score indicated. They missed a couple of field goals, extra point. They were in it. Saquon got wrapped up, though. They moved the ball really well. So, I don't know. I'll probably sit this one out. I mean, usual play for us is, you know, if 90% of the public is on Green Bay and the line has gone down, normally we take the Giants, right? So, I don't know. John, you have any lean on this game?
I'm not taking it, but you hit it right on the nose. You know, 90% of the action's on Green Bay, but the line's moving. Why? Somebody knows something or somebody thinks something to make that line go under a key number. Last week, a 90%er was Detroit, Washington, and we knew not to take Detroit. And, you know, Washington ended up winning the game outright. Yep. I don't see the Giants winning this game outright, but I'm not going to be on the pack here. And I don't want to roll in any type of, you know, dip or money line or anything like that. Not that I do that stuff anyways, but if I were you guys, I wouldn't do anything to close out with Green Bay on the road to end up winning this game outright. So,
yeah.
Is a stay away from me.
I'm with you. I would take the Giants for everything that we believe in if it wasn't for their pass defense. It's so bad. It's like in the bottom five of everything. So I feel like with Green Bay coming off such a terrible loss, I mean, Rodgers having the lowest game of his career, you know, this is just such a good bounce back spot. So, but yeah, I'll sit this one out.
Kind of a segue into our next game. We have the team that John just mentioned, the Washington Redskins, that did cover last week in that 90-10 game. They are 10-point underdogs on the road in Carolina. Right before the game, Vic, you tweeted out something that was amazing, where Dwayne Haskins showed up to the game at 10:48 in the morning, which is barely 2 hours before kickoff. That is just unheard of. I remember people made a big deal about Johnny Manziel showing up at 10 a.m. one time before a game when he played for the Browns. Just to kind of put it in perspective, Brady's game, he played at 4:30 against the Cowboys. He was in the stadium by 12:30 that day. I remember seeing him walking in. So 2 hours before game time, that's pushing it there. You got to get through warmups and everything. And we saw Dwayne Haskins, man, he's taking selfies after the game, totally forgetting that he's got another play he's got to run.
And not after the game, during the game.
During the game, man. Yeah, there's just something about him that's just Jamarcus Russelling type quality, where he's just I've heard that he's not paying attention in meetings too much or not all in on those things. So I don't know. I'm sorry if you're a Redskins fan. I feel awful for you. Your team is heading in an awful direction. So I'm not a big Dwayne Haskins believer. I'm not touching this game. I don't want to lay 10 with Carolina. So I'll kick it over to either one of you guys if either one has an opinion on this, but I'm not touching it.
I definitely would not take the Redskins in this spot here. 10 is a lot. And what I'm looking at actually is, this is so weird, I'm going to do this again. This is the second time. If this doesn't work out, I'll never mention these again. But I kind of like the under in this spot here again. So it opened at 41 and it came down a little bit, but there's a lot of sharp money on the under. It's not a lot of bets yet because it's still early in the week. So it's hard for me to tell you guys what to do now on this game here, but I might end up taking the under depending on what else I see during the rest of the week and how the line is shaping out in the spot here. So 41 down to 39, and a lot of tickets have been counted on the under already. So I'm gonna pay a little attention to that. That might be something I end up playing later on in the week.
Yeah. Think you got anything?
Nah, nothing on this game, man. I just see McCaffrey running wild, but 10 points is a lot of points, even with Haskins.
Yeah, I agree there. So not too much of an opinion on these first two 1 o'clock games, but this next one, we got a big one. Game of the week, probably. I'm so surprised this is a 1 o'clock game, but we got San Francisco at Baltimore, possible Super Bowl preview, probably two of the best teams in the NFL the way that they're playing right now. Opened up, and the look ahead was about 4. Now it is up to 6, and you know that is a move based on what the world saw on Monday Night Football, totally forgetting, though, what we saw on Sunday Night Football with how dominant the 49ers were. So I feel like they're a little disrespected with this line here, and it's gone up a little bit too much. But, Vic, I know you were talking about this game before, so I'll let you go with it first, and then we'll go around.
Yeah, I love the Niners in this spot. I think it's – you nailed it a little bit. You know, people kind of forget Sunday night just because how good Lamar and the Ravens were on Monday. But the Niners are amazing, man. I mean, that's a team we've all loved all season long. And I think this is a good spot for them. You're going to get an inflated line. Heard Scooch and Chad on their pod. Scooch said this line is definitely, you know, a point and a half to 2 points above what it should be. The public is on the Ravens, of course, just because of how good they looked. So I think you're getting some value here in the 49ers. They have an incredible pass rush. Their pressure rate is best in the league. You saw it against Aaron Rodgers. I know Lamar is balling. I know it's like a video game offense. I know they're impossible to stop, but this is the best defense that they've probably faced this season. So I think this is a field goal game either way. And because of that, I like the Niners. This is one of the games I had circled for this week.
Yeah, I love the Niners in this spot also. And as I was watching that Monday Night Football game, which I was definitely on the wrong side of, unfortunately.
I think we all were.
Yeah. So I was loving that it was getting so out of hand that I knew I was going to get some value here in this game. So the 49ers plus 6, that's too much. You know, you guys already said it. I didn't know this at the time, but it opened 4.5. It's up to 6 now. If there's a team that's going to be able to defend Lamar Jackson, it's got to be these guys, right? If these guys can't do it, who's going to be able to do it the rest of the year? So this front, they got Bosa, they got Armstead, they got the linebacker, and they got Buckner, and you know, they're going to be able to contain Lamar Jackson in this game. So I don't know if they're going to end up winning the game, because I feel like the Baltimore defense is just as good, and they might be able to contain the 49ers offense. So, but 6 is too much. Just like Vic already said, this is a three point spot. So I'm going to be all over the 49ers here.
All right. I think we're going to get a consensus agreement here, because I am as well. Vic, you hit it on the head with how much the line is shaded up. And then John, with the way you mentioned the defensive line, that's exactly what I was looking at as well, because a lot of these teams, to get pressure on Lamar Jackson, they got a blitz because the offensive line is good. He's able to kind of escape. We saw how there was one time in the game where Wade Phillips, he blitzed Lamar Jackson in the middle lane, was just wide open, and he took off, scrambled, and almost scored. I think he was down at like the 1-yard line. But with the 49ers, they can hold guys back and get pressure on Lamar while having those two linebackers sit there and spy him. They don't really have to blitz anybody to get that pressure because the defensive line is so good. So I think that's going to really help with getting some pressure on Lamar, getting him off his spot, making him move around, and hopefully they can contain him. But and then also I think the 49ers have the offensive personnel to match what the Ravens can do. Now, obviously, they don't have the superstars or the names, but with Kyle Shanahan being there, they can always draw up things that will put them in good positions to score. So I like the Niners here. I think this is a big game for them. And San Francisco, man, they got a tough slate. They had, obviously, the game against the Packers last week. They got Baltimore this week, and they got to go to New Orleans next week. So hopefully not too much of a sandwich spot here. I highly doubt you're going to sandwich spot with probably the best team in the league right now.
Yeah. But
obviously, this game is not as important as the two that they're going to play this last week and the one coming up. So that's one thing you can maybe think is a slight concern, but I don't think it is. So getting too many points here, that's the bottom line. So I like San Francisco plus the six.
And one more thing I'll add is like how different San Francisco's offense is with Kittle, you know. And
yes,
we saw it on Monday night. I mean, we saw it 2 weeks ago how bad it looked, but but Kittle's a monster, and the Ravens kind of struggle against tight ends, and they've given up huge chunks of yards. So, you know, that just another weapon, even if they're down, they can get us the back door.
It's going to be a fun game to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, I got one last thing also. A sharp guy once told me, and this goes into effect more during the game than after the game's over, but if you lose your center – during the game, you know, it affects you a lot. So that's something that he always told me to look into. And when you lose your center, and I believe the center's out for the season now, you know, there's value in that. So that, you know, that center controls the offensive line. And now that he's not there anymore, you know, that should be baked into the line, which I don't think it is this week. So Ravens losing their center is going to help the 49ers defensive line out a lot.
That is a great point, because I think that is what the demise was for the Chargers earlier this year when Phillip Rivers had all those offensive line injuries. Once Pouncey went out in Okung, he was just running for his – and obviously he can't run, but he was just getting eaten alive back there. So that is a very good point. When you do lose your center, you do, you know, have a huge setback on the offensive line because they do control everything. Luckily – keep an eye on that. That's a good point, because the Bills, their center, Mitch Morris, he had a finger injury. He missed most of the game last week, but the guy who came in stepped in and did a pretty good job for him. But he hasn't practiced this week. He's just got a finger injury, so he was on the sidelines and almost looked like he could have came back in if he needed to in the game last week. But if you're looking at the inactives tomorrow for the Thursday game, that's something to keep an eye on. And then, yeah, for this game as well, Lamar's going to have a totally brand new center. So, good point. Tennessee at Indianapolis. This one is not going to be quite the showstopper that the previous one is, but we got I feel like every single AFC South matchup is just a 3-point spread now. So, Indianapolis at home, -3. I see some 2.5s out there. Vic, a lot of money coming in on the Titans is what it looks like.
Yeah, 2.5 is right. It started at 3.5. Colts -3.5. It's down to 2.5 across the board. The public is kind of split. You're looking at about a 54% 40 on the Titans, but money itself came in on the Titans, so they liked the 3.5. They liked the hook. I think it's just exactly what you said, because all these games are like 3-point games. I see this one playing out just like the Colts Texans game, where it's going to come down to the last drive and kind of be a field goal game either way. So, yeah, some of the sharps picked the Titans early.
Yeah, you know, I was, you know, I said there was no 405 special last week when we did our pod, but it turned out to be a 405 special because, you know, before kickoff, talking to friends and whatnot, everybody liked the Jacksonville Jaguars for some reason.
Yeah.
And I was looking at, man, the line is going the other way. It's, you know, it's saying, you know, the line went from, I think, 2.5 up to 4. So, and then they like the Jaguars. So I was like, I'm going to be all over Tennessee in that spot. So, Tennessee's been playing good. I'm pretty good at picking these games. I'm going to stay away from this one. The 2.5 is making me like Tennessee. If it stays at 2.5, I might get in a play. I know that's weird that, you know, if it doesn't go back to 3 or 3.5, where I would be getting value, then I would actually play Tennessee. So then that's telling me that some people are out there think that Tennessee can end up winning this game. So if it stays 2.5 or even goes down less than 2.5, I'm going to be on Tennessee in the spot.
I'm going to be on Tennessee for sure in this spot. I think the Titans right now, the way that they're playing, are a really good football team. Sucks that they took so long to switch over from Mariota to Tannehill, or else I feel like they could be in a much better spot than they are. But I don't know if you guys watch or listen to the pregame show that Chad and Scooch do every Sunday from 12 to 1. But, man, this game was getting lit up with sharp money on Sunday, with the Titans and Jags. And that's one thing to keep an eye on. Scooch mentioned it on the podcast this week that when you see a game that you know is just blah, and nobody's going to bet that game, and all of a sudden the line is just moving and moving and moving, you know that that is the right side to be on, because that nobody was betting that game. And then all of a sudden the line just creeping up 1.5 from key numbers too. So that was the right side to be on. Luckily, I caught it at 3. I had to buy it down a half a point. But I did get the Titans at -3 last week. So that was a game that I really loved. And I wish, you know, sometimes you have access to those moves a little earlier. I wish I would have, because I feel like I could have gotten a better number or a better price on it. Luckily, it still worked out for me. But, you know, eventually in the long run, that could hurt you. So, yeah, that was a huge sharp game. And I think Tennessee's playing really well. Tannehill has really helped their offense improve a lot. And they're getting the run game going like they did towards the end of the year last year. Offensive line is healthy. They're playing really well. They're gelling. Their defense is still outstanding. So I really like the way the Titans are playing this year. And I wouldn't be surprised with how bad that division is if they somehow sneak in to the playoffs or continue, you know, battle for a wild card. Who knows? But I think that they're going to make a run in the second half of the year here, especially coming down these last couple of weeks. So I like the Titans.
Yeah, I like the Titans. I lean the Titans here. It's just the Colts have been so good to us, and they're so good at home in these kind of games. So that's why I think I'm kind of with John, where I'm sitting it out right now. I'm going to watch the late move and see. But you nailed it, Eddie. Scooch talked about it, and he said, you know, watch for games that have that late steam that no one's betting on. And that was the perfect case where – John mentioned all his buddies were like Jags. All this buy movement came in on the Titans last weekend, and they packed. So Tannehill, how about Tannehill? He's looked awesome, right? It's pretty crazy. Is that what Mitch Trubisky's going to be on a different team like a couple of years from now?
I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, he's definitely helped them out a lot. So I think that's a totally different team. One thing about the Colts is they have not been playing well the past couple of weeks. Ever since Jacoby Brissett got hurt, Marlon Mack got hurt, they just haven't been the same team. So, you know, they lost to the Dolphins. They beat the Jags, who are not playing very well right now. And then they got lost to the Texans last week, but they did cover. So, they haven't been the same team that they were in that stretch of the year where we were betting them a lot. Ever since that Steelers game when Brissett got hurt, just hasn't been the same. So one other thing I want to mention, yeah, do the thing that John always talks about where you text your buddies and say, who do you like today? Who do you like today? Last week would have been a horrible week to do it because two games that everybody was telling me that all my friends were saying were Seattle and Baltimore. And I was like, ha, you guys, yeah, have fun with that. And of course, it turned out to be right. So
hey, can we talk about that for a second? Listen, before the I had the Eagles on a Wednesday, right? But by kickoff, and I saw that what that injury report looked like and what the line move did, I was hating that pick so much. I wish I didn't have it. I didn't come off of it, which I never do. But, you know, before kickoff, I knew I was on the wrong side of that game. So as much as everybody liked Seattle also, you know, I like Seattle in that spot, and I hate when that happens because, you know, we're doing this on a Wednesday And on Sunday morning, I was telling myself, damn, I wish they didn't let me pick first. I would have ended up with the Jets, or I would have ended up with the 49ers. You guys let me pick first, and I picked Philly. So I knew I was on the wrong side of that game before kickoff.
We'll let you go last today.
Yeah, all right, cool.
But, yeah, I was the same way. I was on the Eagles all week long. I actually bet them early in the week. Thought I got a good number at -1, and then by kickoff it was like +2 for the Eagles after the injury report came out. And this just was a cluster of injuries for them. So they had no shot. Just a team I don't want to have any backing in right now. And that leads into our next game, which is the Eagles on the road at Miami. They're -9. I see some 10s in some spots. I'm not going to back the Eagles here. Dolphins, I'm not going to back either. I'm just going to sit this one out. So either of you got any opinion on this one here?
Nothing.
No, nothing. It's up to 10 pretty much across the board. You got about 70% of the public on the Eagles.
All right, we'll skip that one. Go to Tampa Bay at Jacksonville. This one, we finally got a cover out of the Bucs last week. This is another one where late before kickoff, the line was moving like crazy. And I think we got Tampa. They were 4.5 all the way down to 3. I got Tampa Bay at 3. I got a late number, but that was the right side, and they won the game outright. So just keep an eye on those line moves, man, because this one has also moved a lot. I think it's a little bit of the Jaguars not looking good since Nick Foles has returned, as well as the Bucs winning outright last week. Finally got Jameis to cover for us, but I'm seeing Pick'em and -1 in some spots and a lot of money on Tampa Bay. Vic, is that what you see?
Yep. It's pretty much at Pick'em in about 3 books and then -1 in all the rest. It started at Jags -3.5. The public and sharps are on the Bucs. So I don't know if it's a combination of how, you know, both these teams played last weekend and sharp money. But, yeah, it's down. It's about 80-20. Bucs did come through for us last week because we talked about how the Falcons were overvalued. So, but I'm always scared of putting our money on Jameis. He is it's so entertaining. I know it's crazy as a gambler, but, like, it's fun watching the Bucs. Like, 2,000-yard receivers. He'll throw a 71-yard touchdown to Godwin in the next play, throw a pick. It's just fun, but I get scared, like, betting on him. So I don't have a play, but, yeah, that's where it's at right now.
Yeah, you said it perfect because, I mean, they are. They get fantasy points everywhere. Jameis somehow finds a way to put up 30 fantasy points, even though he's got four interceptions every week. Godwin and Mike Evans pop off every week. So, yeah, they're a fun watch, but they're hard to back because they find ways to lose games or just not even cover spreads. So, John, what about you? Do you like anything in this one?
I'm not interested in either one of these two teams. I mean, it's everything saying to take Tampa Bay here, and I don't want to do it. So I'm going to stay away. It's a 1 o'clock start, so I'll find something else. I see 75% of the money is on the under, even though the bets are split 50-50. So that's the third under that I see that I like this week. So I'm not going to end up touching this game either.
God damn, man. I'm looking at all these next three games we got coming up. I got sides I like in every one of them, and probably because they're all similar spreads. But next one up is the Jets at the Bengals. I was all over the Jets last week. I've been all over the Jets the past couple of weeks. You guys know, before the year, I was kind of high on them, and then Sam Darnold caught mono and pretty much ended their season. They kind of had one of those lulls that we talked about where their season was over, and they're like, damn, this sucks. Pack it and go home. And then all of a sudden, these past 3 weeks, they've just been playing like a whole totally different team. I think we might get the opposite here because Cincinnati is switching back to Andy Dalton. And I feel like that's going to drive a little bit of inspiration. He's going to come out and play a great game, no doubt about it, because you know how disrespected he felt when he got benched.
Andy Dalton plays good games.
I mean, I had him 1 year in fantasy, and he led my team to first place. So, yeah, there was 1 year. There was no, because he broke his finger in the playoff game. Okay. So I lost in the first round when I started him. But that's neither here nor there. That was a couple years ago.
Yeah,
so
he is back. So the line is at about 3.5 across the board. It started at 3. the public's loving the Jets after their amazing victory last weekend. So it's at about 75%. So, yeah, I don't know, man. This is a tricky spot. The Jets are coming into this game playing really well. Darnold's playing well. The offense is clicking. I have no clue. I'm just happy that the Bengals covered for us last weekend. I was all over the Bengals. And so I'm happy about that. But I don't know if they could do it again. I'm just going to sit it out. John, what do you think?
Well, Jets covered for us too, and we
true.
We gave us a pick of the week, right? So, listen, this is the game. This is another one of those games where I was telling everybody Jets last week, and they were like, Raiders. I'm like, are you guys out of your freaking minds? What Raiders? You can't take the Raiders in this spot. So I can totally see a buddy of mine calling me on Sunday morning and telling me Jets all day. So I mean, it's for me, it's Bengals or nothing. So I don't know if I'm gonna end up actually putting any real money on it, but that's just the way I feel.
I love the Bengals in this spot, man. I think it's perfect buy low, sell high. Bengals have been playing well the past 2 weeks. I know they got smacked by Baltimore, but they played the Raiders tough 2 weeks ago, and then they played the Steelers tough last week and almost won that game, just found a way to lose it. But I think with Andy Dalton coming back, there's going to be a little bit of motivation in this spot here, and I think we get a somewhat decent effort out of them that's going to get them the cover here, especially when you're getting the hook. So give me the Bengals in the 3.5. I might revisit this later. I can't believe that I'm saying that, but that might be a pick of the week. But there's so many games out here that I'll probably pick something else. So next one, we got another good one. This line moved a lot. It was +3 as the look-ahead line for Cleveland. Now they are -2. So that is a 5-point swing through a lot of key numbers there. The Browns on the road, 2-point favorites against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I am all over the Steelers here. I don't know about you guys, but they are obviously going to be very pissed off about the Myles Garrett thing from 2 weeks ago. We got Duck Hodges at quarterback, who I think is the better option than Mason Rudolph. And mostly this is going to be me betting them because everyone's on Cleveland and the motivation factor of how pissed off that they're going to be from 2 weeks ago. They are still – the Steelers are still in the playoffs. They're #6 on the AFC wildcard right now. So not like their season is over. Their defense is still solid. And I'm just going to be all over the Steelers here in this spot. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but John, I'll let you take it away first on this one.
Yeah, I'm also – I also kind of like the Steelers here in this spot just for the simple fact that, you know, I talked about it last week. Mike Tomlin always – his teams always play to the performance of the team they're playing. So they played the Bengals last week, and, you know, they were expected to win the game. So, you know, they ended up winning the game but didn't get the cover. So and they did the same thing against the Chargers a few weeks ago. I just – man, this quarterback situation with the Steelers – is the only thing that would keep me away from playing this game. But because of the motivational factor, you know, Browns are going to go in there. They think they're going to end up winning this game. They're the team that's on fire. That these are the kind of games that the Steelers end up always winning. It's just they end up doing that when they got Big Ben. So, like I said, if I end up playing this game, it's Steelers or nothing for me in this spot here. I don't like either. I didn't like Rudolph, but I don't like Hodges either. So I don't know what they do with this whole quarterback situation. What are you thinking, Vic?
I'm kind of with you guys. I think Steelers are nothing. I'm not going to play it right now. I'm going to see how the line goes. It's 75% on the Browns. Of course, everyone's on the Browns. Definitely a huge overreaction. It started at -3. The look ahead was -3. The preseason line was like -4. Or 5. So I love what Mike – did you guys hear what Mike Tomlin said? Why Devlin Hodges?
So Mason Rudolph can't screw it up, right?
Yeah, his quote was literally, he has not killed us. So, like, the team believes in him. He came in and threw a bomb first play. Like you said, John, these are the kind of games that Steelers usually are bad on the road and lay eggs against, like, they kind of play to their comp, and they win these kind of big games at home. So I think Steelers are nothing, especially because you're, like, getting 80-20. You're getting value on the line. The Steelers are still motivated. I think they're pissed off from what happened a couple weeks ago. So, you know, I'm hoping that if you can get it up to like Steelers plus three, that's where I think, you know, it's time to jump in.
I agree. I'm hoping this line creeps up a little bit more. I know it has a little bit because it opened up pick, I think, and jumped way up to two real fast. So, yeah, I'm going to be all over the Steelers here. I actually like this game a lot. So hopefully it creeps up to three. I don't see anything higher than two anywhere. But another thing is the Browns just aren't a good team on the road. They've played a lot of these games at home these past couple of weeks against the Bills, Steelers, Dolphins, all at home. Let's not forget their previous two road games, Denver, New England. How did those turn out? And is Denver really a better team than Pittsburgh? I don't think so. So I'll be all over the Steelers here for several reasons. Man, there are so many games this week I love. I got to remind myself the pace as well. 405 special we got coming up here. LA Rams at the Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals are 3-point underdogs to the awful Rams. I love the Cardinals. I'm not going to lie. I think it's going to be – I think the public is on them as well. But the Rams, what have they shown in the past couple of weeks to be 3-point favorites against the Cardinals on the road? I don't think they've shown anything. So, honestly, Arizona has a better offense right now at this point. And Arizona's been playing very, very good. They have just been coming up short in a couple of games. So you look at their past couple of games, really putting in some good efforts, except for the Saints game. They didn't do too well there, but I'm going to be all over the Cardinals in this spot. The one thing that does concern me is I always use this as a rule for myself. When teams get embarrassed in primetime the week before, I tend to go with them the following week. So that's one thing that's going to make me not go too crazy on this game. Because I think the Rams, you're probably going to get a good effort out of them this week. So, Vic, how about you?
Tough game, man. I think you nailed it with everything you said. It's like, what have the Rams showed us that they should be laying 4, 4.5 on the road? Even the game that they beat the Bears, I mean, that was – they should have lost that game, you know. And so they've looked horrendous, O-line issues. Offense looks bad. Cards have played well this year, man, and their offense is really good. So I like the Cards when they're dogs because I feel like they're always going to score at the end of the game and get that back door. So anything above three, I like the Cards. It's at three right now, so I'm sure it's probably set. But I might wait until game time. What about you, John? Is this a 405 special, or what are you thinking?
No, you know, it's tough because the Rams got blew out on Monday night. So exactly. like Eddie said.
Yeah.
It's tough when that happens to call it a special. Otherwise, you know, it would be. People are not going to actually be on the Rams because the last thing they saw was them, you know, getting spanked by the Ravens. So I also like the Cardinals in this spot. Probably not something I'm going to end up playing. For, you know, this game, I can totally see it. There's always that 4 o'clock game that turns wild. And I can totally see this game just like going back and forth and back and forth. And it's going to be going on until the end. You're going to sweat this game no matter what side you end up taking. I guarantee you this game comes down to the last drive. And if I were to play it, I would be on the Cardinals because I feel like right now, offensively, they are better than the Rams. And I don't know, defensively, is still up in the air. So it's tough. Probably a stay away for me. I know it's going to end up being a wild, crazy game.
All right. So leaning towards the Cardinals there, slight, strong lean, but not anything too firm there. So two more 4 o'clock games, 4:25. I think this is the main game, Oakland at Kansas City.
Is everybody playing this week? We've been talking about a lot of games.
Yeah, I think we're back to a full slate for the rest of the year.
All right.
Yeah. So we'll try and speed them up the rest of the way. Oakland at Kansas City, 9.5 in some spots, some 10s out there, plus 10 for the Raiders. I'll let you guys take this away first because I want to hear your opinions on this. So, John, you go first on this one. Who do you like, if anything, on this one?
I hate spreads this high, right? So, I mean, I don't know what to do with them. I'm not going to end up playing this game, but I mean, I like Kansas City. Are they going to cover 10 points? I'm not sure, you know, so Oakland didn't look good last week. Is it, you know, is this their downfall now, or are they going to get right? It's, I don't see them getting right in Kansas City. It's just, you know, is KC going to end up, you know, blowing these guys out like the Jets did last week? So, I'm not touching this game. I don't have a side either way.
Vic?
It's tough, man. I don't know. Probably sit this one out, I think. I for the Chargers game, I feel like Broncos last week hit every single system, and watching them was just, like, so frustrating. So, I just can't back them again, man.
I'm sorry. Were we talking about the Chargers-Broncos game?
Talking about Kansas City and the Raiders.
Sorry. And then I was saying that one real quick, and I was like, when it comes to the Raiders and Chiefs, I'm kind of in the same, like, mindset where it was like I watched the Raiders, and they were so bad, kind of like how the Broncos were. So I don't know. And, like, the Chiefs, we know that Andy Reid off of a bye always falls out, right? And the Raiders' pass defense is just so bad. So is this, like, the perfect get-right game for them? So I don't know. It's tough. I feel like 10 is, like, a little inflated. I was hoping to get, like, the Chiefs at, like, -8. So it's something I might wait until game time. I still lean the Chiefs just because Andy Reid off of bye and how bad the Raiders' D is, the pass defense.
Yeah, I think this number may come down a little bit, probably inflated as teaser protection a little here. So I do like Kansas City to win the game. That's why I don't want to back the Raiders. Same reasons you said. Their pass defense is just awful. So I could see this getting out of hand pretty quick. John, I know you have been talking about over-unders here. So maybe this one could be an over with a lot of points being scored here. Both defenses not too great. But
it dropped, man. It dropped. It was 54 and a half. Three and a half points. So you already lost. I mean, what that's telling me is it's attracting over bettors, and the under was probably the way to go earlier in the week. So that's not something I'm going to end up doing.
Yeah, I hear you. So I have a slight lean to Kansas City, but there's so many other games I've talked about that I like. I probably won't bet this one. So next one up, another game I'm probably not going to bet: Denver at home +3 against the Chargers. I don't think the Chargers should be laying 3 points on the road to anybody with the way that they're playing lately. And I also don't think Denver is a team I can back right now with the way they're playing. So, Vic, anything you got on this one? You
were talking about it. Sorry, I randomly thought about them last, you know, for my last pick. But, no, I just can't do it, man. They just look so bad. And Philip Rivers just looks dead. Like, he just throws up balls like he's playing .500 like when we were kids. So – I don't know how we can put money on either of these guys, but I don't know, John, I can be convinced. Do you like anything?
No, I'm not going to convince you. I mean, I would end up taking Denver just because they're at home. I'll probably, man, there's so much. I'm already worn out from all these games that we talked about.
I know.
And you started by the time Sunday 4 o'clock comes around after everything that, you know, we've gone to, I'm just gonna be laying there zoned out. So I'm probably not going to end up taking this game. I don't think there's a 4 o'clock game. Let me see here. So what is it? Three of them?
Wow. Yeah, three of them.
Wow. Man, I'm going to be tired by then. Maybe I'll be taking a little nap.
Take a break because a big game is coming up Sunday night, man.
So right.
You take a break there and then boom, it's back at it. Because this is a good one, Andy. You got to talk about this one.
Yeah, so this one is going to be one that I was looking at as a pick of the week. And, you know, every single person is won money these past 4 days is going to be laying it all on the Patriots here. So I'm going to be on the Texans. They're 3-point underdogs, 3.5 in some spots still at home against the Patriots. You know, everybody is betting the Patriots, of course, as usual. Still a little salty they didn't get the cover for me the one time I bet them last week. Thanks, Jason Garrett, for being an idiot, I guess, because you costed me there. You should have went for it. But anyway.
I had Dallas. Didn't we agree on Dallas on that?
I was the opposite of you guys, remember?
Yeah.
Man, so I was so happy he was an idiot. I was, That was awesome.
We got lucky that he doesn't believe in analytics and common sense.
That quote after the game that he said on his radio show when they asked him, do you use win probability during the game? No, we don't use those statistics during the game. Well, that's why you lost, bud. Look at Monday night. There you go. So, yeah, I love Houston here. I think getting the three at home, Sunday night football, primetime, classic setup. You're getting the line value here. And I think Deshaun Watson has always played pretty well against New England. Even his rookie year, it took a last-second pass to Brandon Cooks, I remember, for Tom Brady to beat the Texans that game. That was when Deshaun Watson was a rookie. So, and we all know how good Belichick is against rookie quarterbacks, and they still couldn't solve them then. So I really like Houston in this spot here. We're getting 3 points. I think this is the first time that they haven't had to go to Foxborough to play the Patriots. So getting them at home this time, I think we're going to get a good number here, good value, and I'm going to take the Texans plus the three. I'm definitely going to be betting this one. So might even be a pick of the week. We'll get to that in just a little bit.
Nice. There's RLM on reverse line movement on the Texans. So you got about 80% of the public on the Patriots. The line started at 4.5. It's down to 3.5, 3 at most places. So that kind of supports what you're going with, Eddie.
Awesome.
Yeah, you want to get your best number in this game. We always laugh and say, it's a Sunday night game. I'm going to end up playing it. But you don't want to be catching less than, you might end up with three and end up with a push in this game. So I love Houston in this spot. I'm going to end up taking them also. I haven't put it in yet, but I can get it in right now. I think I can get 3.5 I'm looking at here. So I like Houston. I'm going to end up playing this game. They might end up winning it. Worst comes to worst, they end up losing by 3. So I'm going to be all over the Texans here too.
Yeah, I like the Texans in this spot. It's just a good spot for them. And the pass offense has been struggling. I mean, I know we've talked about it. Everyone's talking about it. It's true. The only thing is their defense is so, so good. And Hopkins and Watson, can they limit them? Can they shut them down? That's going to be obviously the question of the game. But I think there's still a bunch of 3.5s out there. So I like the Texans plus 3.5. This is just a really good spot to end the weekend for Vegas, I feel like.
Yeah. Even if they end up limiting Hopkins, which they are going to do, they're going to, they'll just, if they end up double teaming Hopkins, which Bill Belichick loves to do, Will Fuller's been playing really good. So Fuller's going to, if Watson has to go to Fuller, it's not going to be an issue.
Did he hurt his hamstring again, though, on that like deep bomb?
What's that?
Did he hurt his hamstring again on that bomb?
I don't know, actually. So that's key there, man. He's a good X factor in this game because of the way New England likes to play and just shut down your main source. So if he's not playing, that might change my mind a little bit. But they've also been running the ball good too. Hyde and Johnson somehow have been figuring it out. And Watson's been playing good all year. So yeah, I don't know. That Will Fuller thing might throw me off just a little bit there. So I don't know if he's playing or not. But if he's playing, he's gonna get separation. What Dallas needed to do last week was go to somebody besides Cooper, and they couldn't do it except for one time to Cobb. And that one play where they went to Cobb and they got like 70 yards, kind of was the only play they'd had all game, and we got the cover just from that play. So their defense hasn't been playing good. I mean, the New England offense hasn't been playing well. So yeah, man, I'm gonna be on Houston here. I gotta check into this whole Will Fuller thing though.
He just I remember him like getting up after that huge bomb and like pointing to his hamstring. And I feel like his hamstrings are always hurt. That's like a guy that needs some like yoga or PT or something.
Right.
So we're all on the Texans, and I think we're all going to be on the same side in this Monday Night Football here. We got Minnesota plus 3 at Seattle. Vic, this was one you were looking at earlier in the day, so I'll let you take it away here.
Yeah, I love Minnesota. I love Minnesota in this spot. I feel like this is a great spot for them. Everyone's going to be on Seattle after what they've been doing the last couple of weeks, how they played against Philadelphia. But you got about 60% of the public on Seattle. You have about 65% of the money on Minnesota, though. So Minnesota plus three. I think that Dalvin Cook, this is the game that he's going to run wild. And I just think Minnesota's the better football team. Seattle's been getting by. Russell Wilson's been amazing, but I just think Minnesota's the better overall squad. And yeah, I'm loving this game. I'm loving, really loving the Vikings as one of my favorite plays this weekend, but wanted to see what you guys thought.
John, can we trust Kirk Cousins twice this year in primetime for us?
Well, it didn't work out for me last time. I didn't trust him. I don't think I came on that week and I gave out the Cowboys, and I don't think you guys were in agreement with me on that game, but man, you know what? I hate betting against Seattle on the road. That place is going to be ruckus, going wild. The numbers telling me – the numbers – when I saw that they said that this game was going to be the Monday night game, Seattle versus Minnesota, I'm like, please let it be in Minnesota. You know, and then I looked and it's in Seattle. I'm like, gosh, man, that's such a key thing for me because I love their home field. I hate Kirk Cousins on the road. But Seattle's defense, I keep saying it, and it's not showing up. I can't wait till I can catch it one time because it's not working for me. Their defense is not that good. Their secondary is not that good. Kirk Cousins is a good passing quarterback. He has Diggs. I don't know if Thielen's playing. Cook's going to be able to run the ball. It's just little things like – well, it's not little things, but it's things like them being on the road that's going to – I don't know, man. I'm a little iffy on this game. I'm so sick of going against Russell Wilson, and he pulls out all this magician stuff on me, and I end up losing. So it's happened to me a couple times already this year. So this is a game I'm not going to play heavy. I'm going to wait. It's going to be one of those games because I always end up playing on Monday night. I'm going to wait and see what happens. If you made me choose right now, I'm just going to stick with what the numbers are saying, and what the numbers are saying is with Vic, and the numbers are saying you got to take Minnesota in this spot. It's 62% of the actions on Seattle, 70% of the money's on the Vikings. So somebody is saying, you know, the money's telling you need to be on Minnesota here. So I'm gonna wait. It's probably a game I'll end up playing just for a little.
Yeah, I would just suggest if you like Minnesota, get them now because that line might dip down a little bit under the three. So try and get the three if you can. I agree with Vic. We're getting peak Seattle value here where they've covered, I think, every game except for the Ravens, all of their most recent games. And think how long ago it seems that Ravens game was when they played in Seattle. That was the last time they did not cover a spread. So they've been just covering left and right, and obviously the number is inflated. I'm still not a complete believer because – Seattle reminds me of the Colts when Andrew Luck is like his rookie year or his second year, when they were just covering numbers left and right, and the analytics just could not explain it because they were not a very good football team. And that's just kind of what Seattle reminds me of, is a team where it's just they have holes here and there in a lot of different places, and they're still finding ways to either get turnovers or just, you know, come up with all sorts of magic, like John said, with Russell Wilson. So eventually that's going to run out. The coin flips are going to flip the other way. I like Minnesota here. We're getting 3 points. Vic, you said they're the better football team. I agree with you 100%. So I'm going to be all over the Vikings. I'm going to bet it pretty soon too, just so I don't miss out on any threes as well. So Minnesota Vikings is a team I like on this one. We are finally through all the NFL games. Man, that took like forever because there's so many this week. But now we'll go to our picks of the week. So Vic, you go first. And I feel like you might just be piggybacking off what we just talked about.
Well, we'll let John go first because he got.
I thought he wanted to go last.
I got my pick. If you guys say it, then I'll say, "Oh, you guys said it," but I still want to go last.
Okay, fair. Because I wanted to give you first dibs. And so yeah, I'll go with the Vikings. I like the Vikings plus three. I think they're the better football team. I love the Niners. I like the Texans. I mean, there's a bunch of games that we all agreed on earlier. And the Bears look good. I hate betting on the Bears, so I'll pass as my pick of the week. But so I'll go with the Vikings plus three as my pick of the week.
All right, so Vikings plus three is Vic's. Now, last week, John, I was expecting, since I was going last, that I was going to have to choose between the Eagles and the the Rams or the Jets, but you made me pick between the Rams and the Jets. And thankfully I picked the right side. Now I'm going to make you have to pick between two of the ones that you were talking about earlier, because I'm going to throw you off and I'm going to go with the Bengals plus 3.5 as my pick of the week.
What a boring pick.
It is, but I talked myself into it in this, right. This pod.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm just going to get mine out of the way. That our boy, Ran Lyon, my boy on Twitter is going to hate me for this pick, but F it, man. If Blau is playing, can I put a contingency on my pick of the week?
Sure.
It's got to be if Blau is playing, my pick is the Bears. I'm going to get mine out of the way. I'll be done with my pick of the week. I'll feel good at 4 o'clock while, you know, you guys have to wait the rest of the week. I'll already have mine in. Bears are going to blow out the Lions. You do not pick up a third string, no name quarterback off the street, plug him into a game on 3 days notice and do anything effectively on offense. I don't care what Mullins did last year. This is not the San Francisco 49ers organization. So, I'm going with the Bears. What number do I got it? What number do I got to lay right now?
So you gotta put a cap on it. So it's -4. It just went up again while we've been on this pod. But put a cap on it. If Blau plays, Blow Blau, whatever his name is, you know, how high are you taking the Bears? Like 6, 7?
Oh, dude, if that guy plays, I'll take 6.5.
Okay, fair. So your lock is the Bears -4. It does look like he's going to be out, because even while we were on this call, the line just keeps going up. It's up to 4. So, but that sounds good. Shout out to Rand Lyon. Thanks for listening. Sorry, John's against you this week. That's John's pick. Eddie, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going with the Bengals +3.5.
But my question to you, the only reason I come back is, what about the Niners or what about the Texans? Are you loving the Bengals?
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought. I thought John was going to have to pick between those two, and then he goes and throws the Bears in on me. So we're just throwing all each other off. But, well, John, if for some reason Driscoll or Stafford comes out, you're taking the Texans?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's the secondary pick. So,
if Stafford comes out, I'll take the Lions.
Exactly. But I think he was already ruled out. He might have. Yeah. No, so, but yeah, I got the Bengals +3.5. John has the Bears -4 with a contingency of the third string quarterback starting for the Lions. Vic has the Vikings +3. And then John's emergency pick will be the Texans. +3. So
I got one college too. I know.
So do I. So I'll let you go first on that one.
You know what? I was telling you guys how I didn't look at it. I didn't look at it until we started recording. But man, I like Auburn, man. I don't see how Alabama wins this game with that quarterback. I was gonna give out Virginia Tech, and thank God last week we didn't give out any college picks. If I did, I would have gave out against Virginia Tech, like I did the week before, and they got blew out. They blew out somebody, and they blew out somebody last week. And the line is saying the same thing again to take against Virginia Tech, but I'm not going to fall into that trap again. I'm going to stay away on that game. But Auburn's catching 3.5 at home. Their front is dominant. You know, they're going to be able to stuff Alabama, and it's going to be on I'm sorry, man. I don't even know his name. Is it Jones, the quarterback for Alabama, to be able to throw the ball? And I don't know how good that they're going to be. So, I know it's a rivalry game. I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm going to go with Auburn in this spot here. So that's my pick of the week for college. I only got the one. It's 70% of the public is on Bama, but the money is split 50-50. So that's telling me Auburn looks like the right side.
Yeah, I like Auburn as well. Only thing that scares me is their quarterback for Auburn. He has not played well in the big games. He's still a freshman. Georgia that comes to mind the most, LSU. But he did play big in the first one against Oregon. So hopefully we get that one in this spot. And then I am going back to the state of Minnesota as another 3-point underdog. Minnesota College, we're going to go with +3 at home against Wisconsin and their rivalry game. And I think what do they play for, the Paul Bunyan Trophy or something in that one? So I think Wisconsin is kind of dominated that series, but I like Minnesota in this spot. I'm gonna go with them +3. So just keep it quick, and our two college picks will be Auburn at home plus, what do you got, four for them? Three and a half?
Yeah.
Three and a half, and then three for the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
I'd sound like an idiot if I didn't correct you. The Paul Bunyan Trophy is Michigan, Michigan State. So,
my bad.
It's not the Paul Bunyan Trophy, but yeah, okay.
I don't know what they play for then.
No idea. I have no idea. I just know that Paul Bunyan Trophy is Michigan, Michigan State. So,
my bad.
So, to your point, Chris Felica had a good tweet. In his last seven games as an underdog, PJ Flex teams have won six straight outright and lost by four at Iowa as a 3.5-point underdog. So they always play well in this spot.
Row the boat. I like it. All right, so that is all of our picks. Just to recap one last time. Vic, Minnesota Vikings plus three. John has the Bears minus four. With a contingency of the Blau playing quarterback for the Lions, and then emergency is going to be the Texans. I have the Bengals plus 3.5. And then for college, John has Auburn plus 3.5, and I have the Minnesota Golden Gophers plus 3. So
last Thanksgiving, I ranted how Michigan had to win that game last year against Ohio State. And I was going on this podcast, how we're going to do it and da, 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 da. I'm not going to say anything this year. It happens. Go blue.
What is the spread on that one? Maybe I'll say it for you.
10 points, I think.
I'm too scared. I don't know, man. It's too high. It's nine.
There's definitely value on Michigan.
There is.
They're playing well. It's just Ohio State has played so damn good this year that they look good. And you guys know me. I don't watch a lot of college as much as you guys, but that's the best team I've seen this year. Just from my viewing, but the public's all over Ohio State. You got lines up to 9.5, 10 across the board.
All right. Well, we won't give it out as a pick so we don't jinx John and his squad there.
No, I'm good. We got to win the game.
All right. Well, that's our pick for week 13 in the NFL. So wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and good luck this week, and hopefully we can all pace ourselves.
Yeah. Good luck to everyone this week. Let's do it.
Good luck, guys.
Later.
See ya.